Ellen, hi. Welcome to another Slice of Sci-Fi. I'm Summer Brooks, and it is my pleasure to welcome back to the show Daniel A. Bella, the program director for the highly acclaimed Philip K. Dick Science Fiction Film Festival, which the 2024 edition will be happening in New York City at the Museum of the Moving Image, April 4th through the 7th. And we're here to talk about the films that are going to be here, the special guests who are going to be on site to talk about their projects and more. Daniel, welcome back.
Thanks, Summer, for having me back.
I'm a film festival fan. The independent film market, the short film market. I love finding gems. And the film festivals showcase those gems because you got to work hard to have your film accepted at a lot of film festivals. And your film festival, Science Fiction, my wheelhouse, Philip K. Dick, one of my favorite authors. So you've sort of like brought together this perfect storm of stuff I like. So I thank you for the hard work you do every year on this.
Well, you know, it's up until a few years ago, I was wondering whether sci-fi had reached its final point, because more and more everywhere I see is just sci-fi. I mean, what was 20 years ago, the idea of, say, time travel or CRISPR technology or gene therapy in the form of a vaccine, or whatever, was seemed like straight out of Arthur C. Clarke or PKD, but now it's reality. So it's no longer an issue of whether or not we're living a sci-fi universe. We already are. And we've seen that this is the very beginning of that universe. So I was wondering to myself, well, being that that's made, does these films have any relevance anymore? Because how many times are you going to be watching a space opera? Or how many times do you want to do time travel? But somewhere in this year's selection, I saw a new pattern emerging, and I think that was has invigorated me, which is that just like the 1950s, there were a lot of UFO movies that came out that use UFO as a metaphor for our threat of the Red Menace. Similarly, this year, I see a lot of films, a lot of sci-fi shorts and features that are using sci-fi, specifically PKD themes, as a metaphor threat for our vanishing humanity, which is tremendous concern that with the advent of AI and other technologies, we might reach the point where AI is starting telling us what it means to be human, which kind of be a reversal, very PKD-ish kind of take on reality. So I think that this is where I think our festival has a new remission, which is to use science fiction not just to entertain, which has always been the forefront, but also to provide people with a sneak preview of what's happening, but also as a way to retain our humanity in the face of this progressive technological juggernaut that we're experiencing. So I'm very happy to have the films that we're showing this year. Additionally, a lot of the films deal with grief and sadness, PTSD, depression, something that 5 years ago would rarely see on a science fiction film. So it also shows you that a lot of people are still going through one of the grieving stages, probably related to COVID or after COVID. And that's coming out in the movies, in the shorts, in the stories. So it tells us a lot about what's going on in people and their attitudes towards technology.
Yeah, I know that there were a few movies the past couple of years about that incorporated the internet and social media into the story. Searching was the one that comes up for me. There seems to be a trend towards telling stories about, like you said, the humanity we may be losing touch with because people are disconnecting themselves from other people and connecting deeper and deeper with social media, virtual worlds like the Apple Pro and the metaverse thing. And you know there's going to be more coming along
Oh, yeah.
where you're immersed in a digital reality. I'm waiting for somebody to create a digital world like Second Life, only put it on a different level with these immersive glasses. I'm like, oh, wait, we're going to make Snow Crash cool.
That was the idea of metaverse, but it's falling way short. In fact, some people consider Second Life better than metaverse. So,
I hadn't heard that one.
oh yeah. I mean, metaverse is kind of cartoonish, but one thing you can count on the our tech wizards are feverishly working on some sort of a idea or some project like the one you just mentioned, something that will really upgrade what And one thing that I want to start up front is that there is this concern about the possible singularity, sentient AI. But I honestly think even if that doesn't happen, what we really need to be more concerned with is the rise of algorithms that progressively begin to control and determine our fates. Like, let's say back in the day, I don't know if you remember this far back, but you could go to a banker, and sit down with the banker, and then if they got to know you, eventually he would or he or she would, might approve a loan which would otherwise be de denied. Well, good luck today, because right now almost all bank applications are processed through algorithms. So the humanity is taken out of the picture.
Yeah, I
And
have experienced that myself when, job hunting. You most people can't get through the first level of machine learning, the machine interaction that the first level of screening for resumes and job applications. You at this point, 80% of the people who apply for a job don't get past the machine to get to the first person who will look at your resume. And personally speaking, it's frustrating.
And this is something that we really need to be aware of and mindful of, as more as by default, more and more algorithms are being used to process interactions or transactions. There's also something else that I just want to bring up here, is that Philip K. Dick talks a lot heavily, and it's shown in a lot of our movies, is the a balance between relational and transactional experiences. As we drive heavily into the transactional element, the relational gets lost. So by transactional, we're just from the point of view of an AI or even someone on the other side, it might be just a number, a name or a number, a binary zero ones. In a relational, something else happens, which is the human side, which comes forward, which appears, which reveals itself, which cannot be revealed through zero and ones. And that's what I'm afraid is being lost. And as we become more of a transactional based, not only economy, but also a world. Everything from dating apps to genetic engineering is all transactional. And no wonder people are feeling something left out, like they're thrown out there in the wilderness. They're confused and disoriented because that aspect, the relational aspect, is not as obvious, it's not as transparent as the transactional. So people will say, well, I put these numbers in and somehow something's missing. Of course, what's missing is the relational aspect, which is, and unfortunately, the way AI and the whole technological explosion is taking place is to favor the transactional element. So I see the films going to film festivals like ourselves as an antidote, as a booster shot to our humanity, because it's in my book, we're slowly losing it. It is not doubt, you know. And now it's funny because people think of humanity as, oh, well, humanity, and they often call the most horrible experiences that, you know, like war. Yes, but you can also lose humanity slowly. It doesn't have to be in a major catastrophic shift. In fact, sometimes they just do the opposite. But no, slowly. Like back a few years ago, I remember reading that a study of undertaken by the use of certain words in major novels and versus the word the same words in 19th, 18th century novels. And what the author concluded is that there was a coldness that had afflicted the modern novelists that did not exist in 19th or 18th century. There's a lack of passion, lack of, and not just in terms of the characters, but the words themselves reflected loss of, and I would say that that's only accelerated in the last few years, especially since the pandemic, where it's like a go ahead, green light on anything that's AI. And so I would say going to festivals, if anything, is more important than ever, especially the PKD festival, because our mission has been not just to entertain people, but also to provide movies that that represent a sneak preview into the future, and also a worst case scenario of what might happen if we let this particular trend remain the way it's happening. So it's the future now, which we're experiencing. So I'm very, really happy because there was a couple of years ago, I was really wondering, I mean, what's the point of making showing more films? After all, we got Netflix, we got this, and we got this, and we got that. But the point is that our festival, it captures more than other events and other festivals, that connection, which PKD, more than any other sci-fi contemporary writer, talks about that, because his writers, as far as writers, his characters were ordinary people. You and I, trying to struggling in this kind of a universe, not just some superhero like the way the characters in our the various the franchises are represented. No, I'm ordinary people struggling, having a hard time, wondering what is this all about? And somehow, sometimes their conflict would be resolved. Sometimes it wouldn't be resolved, but at least they were there, fully present to the experience, rather than just pretending to fly over or have superhuman strength. So I think our festival is in that way separates itself from a lot of other films. Let's say something you might catch on Netflix or something that or even Hollywood, your Hollywood standard tentpole films. But you know, that's so it's important to have that, because it's films of this nature are really important. They reveal what's happening. And it's often been said that artists, whether it be poets or writers or directors, are the first ones to see the coming storm, or a coming revolution, or a coming paradise, whichever way is coming. But it's they're there. They're on the outer edges, on the periphery. They're looking out before your average Joe is so focused on his life and just struggling, that we are the kind of transmitters of that. So I see that more clearly with the kind of shorts we've been getting this year.
Talk about some of those, because I see in your lineup one of the films you're showcasing is by Matthew Modine, and his he's you've got a Q&A set up with him, and you've got several other
Yes.
top names showcasing their shorts here. Talk about that short and some of the others people can look forward to watching.
Well, yes, I mean, we're opening the festival on Thursday, April 4th, with a Black Hole International Sci-Fi Shorts film, sci-fi film shorts. And Matthew Modine is one of those. And his short is "I Am What You Ima I Am What You Imagine." And it's a very ethereal kind of moves, almost has a kind of a supernatural vibe without going out all the way out there. It has a certain quality that's very compelling without being truly experimental. It kind of brings out certain qualities which are often not explicitly stated or revealed in other shorts. I believe one of the contributors to that short was a contributor to the movie 2001, Space Odyssey. I forget his name right now. Vitaly, I believe. So there's a kind of a really lush, spacey quality to that short. It's sort of a almost like a daydream sequence where the it's from a POV where he's experiencing those qualities. And I often wonder what the meaning, the title is, because I Am What You Imagine. It could be a reflection of Matt's own or an actor's own interpretation. Or I Am What You Imagine is when you are talking with someone else. That person is what you imagine that person to be. At least, so there are definitely various levels of interpretation. So it's definitely a philosophical rumination on the nature of relationships, and so it's I'm very, very happy to have Matthew be there, as well as the producer Adam Rakoff will be present for the Q&A. Other shorts, there is one called Pergies. And that's taking place on Saturday, April 6th. 2 to 4, the 4 to 6 block. This is sci-fi shorts. And this has to do with the name, again, is part of a collection of shorts, Pergies. And the one of the actors in that short is Arnold Chun. Some of you may remember him as one of the being in the Man in the High Castle. So Perky's basically the story of Perky's is about his restaurant or bar that has various bartenders, and each bartender is kind of you have these customers sitting down chatting up with the bartender, and then it seems like the bartender knows a lot about the customer and regarding the decisions they've made in their life up until that moment. It's almost like he's a messenger or she's a messenger of something else. So Arnold Chun represents is one of the bartenders that kind of brings to the surface what one of the customers is the challenges that he's going through. Perky's. So and there'll be others too. As well. So what other shorts? Well, we have amazing features. We got one called Creep Box. And the story is about a scientist who develops a box that using EV electronic voice phenomena, and it kind of picks up that voice, the electronic voice phenomena of their deceased of their deceased wives. And through the use of that, beginning to reveal the hidden secrets that the person had about them, the attitude they had. It's called Creep Box. And you know that what's amazing about Creep Box, EV, electronic voice phenomena, is that it's actually that has been documented that there is some whether or not these are transmissions from the other side or these are electronic residues. There are. I've seen, I've read some reports that some scientists are working on that. It's still on the far end, the far side of the supernatural. But It's it has to, there's some truth to that. It's not completely out there. We're dealing with another feature called quantum suicide, which kind of plays with the idea of the Schrodinger cat paradox, dealing with parallel universes. Now, in terms of shorts, though, I just want to backtrack a little bit. There's a couple of shorts. One of them is called Burner Face. And that was done through AI. And it's a beautiful, amazing short. It's like a 3-minute short that directed by Steve Simmons from Canada.
So was it generated by AI or used AI to help design it? It's like animation.
I think he uses AI, three different AI systems to compose it. There's another one that is generated by, it's a dialogue between two chat GPTs. It's called CAPTCHA. Now it's a live action, but the actual dialogue is two chat GPTs talking to each other. And that was entirely, the whole dialogue entirely generated by the chat GPTs. One is talking to the other. So imagine one is saying something to the other, while the other one is replying it back and forth. It's called CAPTCHA.
Oh my goodness, that reminds me way back in the 80s, there were these bots that trolled on the old IRC channels like Eliza, and people would start talking to Eliza not realizing they were talking to a bot. And the fact that we're now making movies of AI bots talking to each other is just hilarious to me.
Yeah, it is. So, what other amazing? I mean, almost every short has a different. Okay, we got one dealing with transgenerational trauma, PTSD. That's called Alone Together, where the son of a Marine who commits suicide grows to be like the father like son, with. The son watches his father kill himself, and now he's traumatized with PTSD, and basically emulates his father's own path. That's called Alone Together. A lot of there were a few shorts that dealt with time travel, to going back to visiting your younger self, and what advice will you give your younger self? The time travel short. The one thing, again, what I mentioned earlier, the one thing they all have in common, they say about 20% of the shorts have to deal with dealing with sadness or grief or a sense of loss, sense of something is missing. So it's definitely, what else is another short dealing with that that I found a very, very intriguing, a on PTSD. D boy, I can't remember now. But they're almost, I would say about 15 or 20% of them deal with that. They all may rooted on in Earth. They're very, I don't know if there are any space operas. No, actually they are. There are a couple. They're really well done. Oh, there's one. Yeah, Buffering. Okay, this one. Buffering, Please Wait. And she is from Canada, and it takes place in the future where Neuralink type device. It's already is used, and the character apparently some of the memories have been scrambled by the device, and she doesn't know who she is anymore. And she's waiting for the system to reveal that to her. It's called Buffering, Please Wait.
That sounds great. Well,
Oh man, it
the lineup of all your shorts and features can be found on the website thephilipkdickfilmfestival.com. People can also purchase tickets to the different blocks through the website as well.
Yes, I also wanted to mention that some of them are, although most of the films are being shown at the Museum of the Moving Image, some of them also being shown at the Producers Club on Thursday and Friday night. One of those films is a feature called Super Beef, which at first I was thought it was, is this really good for this festival? But it's actually about a character, kind of a drug suffused character who all of a sudden gets visited by these intelligence agencies. And after, well, the more I saw that, that kind of reminds me of something that might have happened to PKD. So he gets visited by these men in black, and he has these, he's all more concerned about writing his novel, but he's really, but the man in black think he's got some kind of secret, or has uncovered a secret regarding his in the book. So it's very PKD-ish. It's called Super Beef. That's actually playing on Friday night at the Producers Club. So, and in addition, I want to mention amazing animation. We got animation coming from China and from Japan. And I think I tell you though, some of the animation, it's just like mind blowing what I see happening. We got most of two of them, one from a 45-minute short called 45-minute short from Japan, two of them from mainland China, and a sci-fi, Japanese sci-fi feature also. This is all part of that block on Friday night. So for those who are hungry for Japanese sci-fi, I definitely would recommend going to that blog and get tons of amazing animation and sci-fi feature. So we try to,
Are
yes.
yeah, are any of these blocks available for people to view virtually online?
Yes, we're actually, we haven't set that up yet. We'll be doing that on the next week or so. Right now we're just but there will be, we'll be working through Filmocracy. But the best way to do so is just go back to the site, the Philip K. Dick Film Festival, and we'll definitely have links to our live program as well as our online streaming program, which will be taking place simultaneously during the 4-day festival.
But right now, the full schedule for shorts and features is on the website, right?
It's on website, yes. For the live, absolutely, yes. For the live version, it's on the website itself.
Cool. So people go to the website, the Philip K. Dick Film Festival, Philip spelled with one L, and check out the schedule and keep an eye out for virtual block purchases if you're not going to be or can't be in the New York City area, April 4th through 7th. We, one of these years, I have to get up there.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, next year we're looking at doing a whole week of Philip K. Dick. We're looking at
Ooh.
this venue. We'll have tons of panels. And I mean, 4 days is so little. I mean, just put the films alone, that's not enough. So we have panels. And so we want to really flesh it out, all the whole week of films, panels, talks. But this year's pretty good, though. We'll have some networking for those who are interested in breaking into distribution or learning how to distribute your short. We'll definitely have panels at the PKD Festival in at MOMI. And also for those who are interested in screenwriting, we also gonna have a panel, a short panel on the business of screenwriting and how to put together a screenplay. We have a great idea but don't know how to do it. Definitely check us out at MOMI.
It's for all of you people interested in writing your own shorter feature that you can later submit to the PKD Film Festival.
Yes, it's getting bigger and every year.
Excellent, excellent. Well, Daniel, I want to thank you for your enthusiasm, your dedication to this film festival, and to independent film in general, especially science fiction films that have that show echoes of PKD's work. Just the encouragement for indie films in general is, my hat's off to you.
Well, thank you, Summer, for having me here on the show and all the years, because I think that indie sci-fi, it's really a word of mouth. So we rely on people like yourselves to really get the word out so others can join this large tribe of PKD heads and be part of be part of the cutting edge.
Excellent, excellent. Once again, Daniel Abella, the founder and program director for the Philip K. Dick Film Festival, once again taking place in New York City at the Museum of Mu Moving Image, April 4th through 7th, 2024. Head on over there to check the schedules and purchase tickets either for live or virtual. Daniel, thank you so much for sharing your time with us today.
Thank you, Summer.
And we'll be back with more Slice of Sci-Fi right after this.
Escape Pod, the free science fiction podcast brought to you by escape artists.
I rippled a welcoming cadence of light beneath my skin, and then, seeing the newcomer was human, made my best approximation of a smile. Welcome to Helixer Transgalactic Lounge.
Each week, one story told well.
She should have never come back to this God's forsaken junk heap of a space station. But she couldn't help but miss it when she was away for too long.
From the most astonishing and visionary storytellers of the genre.
But because time is a trick of the mind, it can be hacked. And we have gotten good at it. We had to.
Subscribe wherever you get your podcasts. Or find us on the web at escapepod.org. And on Patreon under EA Podcasts.
Hi guys, this is Tom Allison, and I play Pree on Killjoys, and you're listening to A Slice of Sci-Fi.
Once again, the Philip K. Dick Film Festival will be in New York City, April 4th through 7th at the Museum of the Moving Image. You can find all of the details. Again, the website is thephilipkdickfilmfestival.com. You should be able to start buying tickets now or early next week. And enjoy. I mean, there are a lot of interesting little films that are in this year's selection. I kind of wish I was in New York or would be in New York to sit in on some of the Q&A panels, but one of these years I will get there. Another film festival I would like to attend is the Brooklyn Horror Film Festival. So I get one film festival for sci-fi, one film festival for horror in New York City. I think it's a good combination. But The Philip K. Dick Film Festival, Daniel's dedication to finding films that resonate with the themes that PKD wrote about or believed in is kind of cool. So if you're in New York that weekend, check it out and let me know how you enjoyed it. And as always, if you have any questions or comments, please feel free to call in. The number is 602-635-6976. Leave a voicemail message or shoot me an email, summer@sliceofscifi.com. You can also come by the website, sliceofscifi.com, and leave a message in the discussion section for this episode, or any of the episodes, actually. You can listen to Slice of Sci-Fi on Apple Podcasts, TuneIn, Player FM, and iHeartRadio Podcasts. And if you're listening on Apple or following us on Podchaser, please leave us a review or a rating. Let folks know you are enjoying this podcast, and maybe other folks should check it out for themselves if they're a little bit curious. You can also chat with me via Twitter at Slice of Sci-Fi or Blue Sky at sliceofscifi.com. And I do occasionally respond to comments or questions if you put them in the comments of any of the videos we have over on YouTube. You can find us on YouTube at youtube.com/@sliceofsci-fi. I'd like to thank everyone who's currently helping to support our efforts here. Slice of Sci-Fi, Babylon Podcast, Writers After Dark, a few other smaller sites like Charlie Jade. All of these sites and archive podcasts stay online with your help. Your donations through PayPal, your pledges through Patreon really do go towards paying the bills for keeping this stuff online. So I thank you very, very much. If you'd like to add your support, the place to go is patreon.com/sliceofsci-fi, where you can pick a tier, any tier, and become eligible for perks. Every month, I have the AI bot or whatever it is randomly select an email address out of the hat, and that person gets to choose from a list of books, DVDs, Blu-rays, 4Ks, materials I have received to review that I no longer have the space to keep. So supporters and patrons, there's the word I was looking for, of the show get first dibs on some really cool stuff. And some of those I actually put out on giveaways, but someday somebody will choose that lovely 4K of the movie Dragon Slayer that came out a year ago, I hope. Anyway, if you just like to donate every now and then without having to commit to a monthly pledge, the link you can use is paypal.me/sci-fi-summer. Another way you can support is through sliceofsci-fi.net. That's our curated shop where we have a right now slightly small selection of DVDs, Blu-rays, 4Ks, and some nonfiction books that are affiliate links. So purchases through that small shop also go to help support efforts here. And yes, I'm working on expanding the catalog of available material, because I don't know if you've been reading the news lately with a lot of the changes in some of the streamers. Physical media is your friend. Always has been, always will be. And that'll do it for this episode. Thank you all for listening. We'll be back with more Slice of Sci-Fi next time. Take care.